Welcome to Mentally on Table Adventures, Episode 19, Danger Patrol, Session 1, Episode 1.
This podcast may contain bad language, crude humor, and graphic violence, and in general is not fit for human consumption.
Well, we got the gang all back together again, and this time we had to split up. This table is going to be playing a game of Danger Patrol. If you hear some voices in the background and the occasional interruption, that's from a group that is playing Dread in the other room. Unfortunately, we did not have a recording of the Dread game. So, enjoy the show. Alright, are we ready? Mm-hmm. So, we are going to play Danger Patrol, an action-adventure retro sci-fi game. The idea is to create the episodes of a 50s-style TV show in the vein of the old Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers serials, maybe with a dash of Venture Brothers, Star Wars, and Indiana Jones. So you're all going to play members of the elite Danger Patrol, special, super-powered crime fighters who protect Rocket City from evil Stygian adepts, the nefarious agents of the Crimson Republic, rampaging monsters set loose by mad scientists, and other crazy threats. So to make your Danger Patrol hero, we're going to pick a style and a role. Your style tells us what kind of being you are, a robot, a mystic, a cybernetic, atomic, or something else. And your role tells us what your job is on the team, a super spy agent, an elite soldier commando, a wily detective, etc. So, first we have here the style cards. So, this will be the left-hand side of your character sheet. So, we have to choose from Alien, the make-your-own style. You say what world in the solar system you're from. Yes, Pluto is a planet, and so is the mysterious Planet X. So, there is Atomic, the cybernetic soldier created just before the end of the atomic wars that destroyed Earth. You have an atomic reactor in your chest. You're Superman or woman, essentially. The Ghost, you're a spirit whose soul is trapped between this world and the great beyond. The Intrepid! You don't have fancy supernatural powers, but your courage, resourcefulness, and luck get you through the toughest scrapes. The Mystic, an enlightened master of the occult, magic, and other dimensions. The Psychic, mental powers of telepathy and telekinesis are the domain of this master of all things mental. Robot! You're a robot. And Two-Fisted, you're a human with no supernatural powers, but you are tough, strong, and ready to rumble. So, everybody, pick a style. Each of those style cards includes spaces at the top for traits, as well as a talent, and unique powers for each one, as well as the bottom half of your danger meter and special abilities, but we'll talk about all that stuff in a minute. Alright, so we have an atomic. We have somebody who's still choosing, sorry.
Sorry.
I saw the one in front of you. I thought you'd chosen and were about to hand the stack. Yep. Well, you guys do that. I'm going to grab a drink. The Mystic.
This is basically a cyborg, then.
Kind of, yeah.
With a reactor in him.
Right. Like, half Iron Man.
I can deal with that.
Yeah, that it could be worse, right? So, next, you have to pick your role. The roles can be Agent, the ultimate super spy, good at recon, stealth, deception, manipulation. Commando, the soldier, good at tactics and shooting.
You put the wrong one.
A little bit extra in your role.
Oh,
there you go.
There it is. They were just stuck together. The Daredevil, athlete, stuntman, acrobat, and all-around risk-taker. The Detective, strong-willed, insightful master of forensics, investigation, the criminal underworld, and reading people. The Explorer, experienced traveler of the solar system, experts in all things alien, especially animals, monsters, and strange ruins. The Flyboy, male or female, an expert pilot, driver, and astronaut. The Professor, master of all the sciences and a whiz with technology. And finally, the Warrior, the hand-to-hand combat and melee weapons expert. So, just like you did with your roles, let's start from this side.
And something you could do is maybe like roll for it so it's completely
random.
Why does
it have these things? Are these what's optimal?
No, when you lay the two pieces of the sheet side by side, it will have the 8 attributes across the top.
Okay.
So, everybody... Okay. So, yep, the attributes are essentially Agent, Commando, Daredevil, Detective, and whatever the 4 are that are on those sheets.
What do you think, Sunshine?
explorer, flyboy, professor, and warrior. So.
No. I don't think we need all of them.
I'm saying what I meant, like randomized, because then...
I'll say that is actually a really good idea. Maybe if I did this at a con, maybe it might even be more fun to just have them roll it out. Roll a die. Mm-hmm. You are this one.
Yep.
Great, and you are the atomic professor. Great,
that would just.
I mean, like they can be really.
This is right.
Right, they can all be really weird combinations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then again, they can all work if you just think about it for a minute. So
you took mine.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
She's the mystic detective, so you can't be the atomic detective. You'll have to be the atomic.
There's a bomb in there, so
I'm not even gonna look at my.
Randomizer! Yeah. The Atomic Commando!
That's too well, though.
No, Atomic Warrior would be the real...
Oh, okay.
The real key, I think, but... Alright, so, now that you've got that, now is the time when hopefully your wet erase markers work really good, that I just gave you. So, lay your sheets next to each other, and you need to distribute your trait dice. So first... You all get a D12 in your main role. So Daredevil writes D12 under Daredevil. Detective writes D12 under Detective.
Oh, okay.
Commando writes D12 under Commando. Because you're automatically good at the thing that is your job.
Yep.
So.
Should we put something for your hand?
We gave her the knife to carve out the pumpkin. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so next.
That didn't really write very well.
Did it?
There you go.
Yeah, mine's
bad. Yeah. Let's see. I say, do you want to grab those dry erase ones up there and give them a shot?
Sure.
Okay, we'll just use them for tonight, and then you can take them home.
Yeah.
So, okay. Go ahead and grab the dry erase. Just be careful; they're dry erase, so they'll come off a lot easier. But if yours is working fine, you can keep using yours. But
she might like that one too. That's Pinky.
Stuffed animals. All right.
She's impressed with her cow. Maybe
so not. After you put a D12 in your main roll, you will have a D10, two D8s, three D6s, and a D4 to distribute amongst your other rolls. So a D10. I'll just set them up here so people can see a visual representation. 3d6s. So a d10, 2d8s, 3d6s, and a d4 into all of amongst your other attributes. So, yeah, and possibly also keep an eye on some of your special abilities. I don't think anybody has anything that alters their dice right now, but I know there is a couple of rolls that do things like that, where I think that might just be...
Adds plus two hits to your action.
Okay, yeah, that's during... I was looking for things that affected a character. Oh, here it is. It's the alien that you get to raise two of the D6s to D8s and one of the D8s to D10s.
Okay.
It's the alien that has the weird stats. Okay, so...
These are the ones.
Yep, so you get a D10, two D8s, three D6, and a D4 to distribute amongst your other stats.
What was it you were saying? Look at certain themes?
I was looking to see. I knew the alien. Okay. I wasn't sure if anybody else just had that, like, okay, a thing like under like your danger is my middle name thing. If any of those said like, you know, raise your D4 attribute to a D6 or something weird. But I think most of those are all things that happen in game. So.
And if you
were wondering what does it mean to be a D4 in Flyboy, it means you're not very good at it. So if you look at this list of actions that fall under each category that I've given each of you, just so you can have an idea of, so punching evil in the face and throwing bad guys off high places is the warrior skill. So if I don't care if I'm not very good at that, I'll throw the D4 in that. Or I want to make sure I'm awesome at that, so I'm going to throw the D10 or the D8 into there. Bless you, little girl. Grinning little face.
She looks so concentrated. Just
all right.
Yeah,
Once you have done that, you need to pick your uniform colors. Every hero wears a two-tone Danger Patrol uniform. So you have to pick the two colors of your uniform. You'll notice there's a spot at the top of the character sheet for it.
Purple and gold.
Also down below somewhere it says weapon. Fighting. You need to choose whether you have a ray gun, an electro blaster, or a turbo rifle.
Obviously a turbo rifle.
I was just thinking that exact same thing.
I don't know, the Mystic Detective, I'm going to guess like a ray gun and an electro blaster sounds like one of their styles.
For a commando though, a turbo blaster.
Commando turbo, turbo blaster seems appropriate. It doesn't make any actual game mechanical difference, you just pick one for fun. So,
just as an FYI to those people, because we had talked about it, likely early December will be the next time. Just because there's a holiday in there, and the play where like half of our people are not here because they're in a play, or doing the lights for a play.
It's a busy season.
It is. November is tough. So, all right. So once you have chosen your weapon, you can look down below. You can see all of the stuff that you have on your character sheet. You have all of that stuff. But let's go through some of the symbols that you're probably seeing all over that character sheet and wondering, what do these symbols mean? Good question. So, the first symbol that you'll see is probably next to your power, this kind of lightning bolt through a circle symbol. That is the lightning icons, which means that ability costs a power token to activate. So if you're going to use an ability that has that next to it, you need to spend a power token to do so. So, the cross symbol, like the red cross, some of you may have it, some of you may not, on either side of your sheet, is something that helps you or an ally. The shield is something defensive. The crosshairs, the circle with crosshairs in the middle, means an attack power of some kind. The arrow means that the power involves you taking an action of some kind. And star is for miscellaneous. Also, the most important symbol, and the one you see most often, is the little brackets around a plus sign. That is the symbol for a bonus dice. And you can use those bonus dice when you make die rolls, when you use the equipment mentioned next to the bonus dice. However, you can only use it one time. So once you've used it, then you cross it off of your character sheet. You can continue using the equipment, you just no longer get a bonus die for it. So after the first time you fire your turbo rifle, it doesn't mean you're out of ammo and you have to throw it away. It just means you will no longer get bonus. You have to decide when. No, because of my awesome turbo rifle, I'm dialing in the scope super special and I'm grabbing a bonus dice for this particular action.
For like this particular one, you can, once you use one, it's not the, once you use one, the whole thing's crossed off. Or like, you know,
right, you just cross off the bonus die. But so all of the, you still have all of the things, you just don't get to use a bonus die from having them. You only get to take really good advantage of them one time. So
not per item, though.
Like not per item. Right. It's that collection of equipment can give you one bonus dice one time. Okay. So once you've chosen your uniform color, you've chosen your weapon, you've looked at your stuff. Let's see. We've covered all of that. We've covered all of that. Your gear, your weapons, your talents. So next you need to come up with suitably pulpy names. Things like Cindy Cannon, Buzz Dixon, Jack Bradbury, Nick Timber. If it sounds slightly cheesy, you're probably doing it right. When you've come up with a name, please place your name also on this little stub of paper so that we can keep track of where your person is in the action. I'm going to need a notepad and a pencil. I will be right back after these messages.
That was surprisingly easy, because that's usually the point where I get to. Like, every time I get a new game, I stop right when I finish tuning in everything about my character. And it's like, what's your character's name? Oh, no. Oh, no.
I usually have generators that I use for names, so. Yeah. Candy apple. I know, for some reason I envision Iron Fist for mine, but I don't want to use that, so I was trying to think something similar. But.
I have a friend who, her one sister name is Ginger. The other one's sister name is Candy. And she's like, I'm everything nice. She's like, one sugar, one spice, and I'm just everything nice. I'm like, yeah, is that it? She's she's like, that's why they had me last. And I'm like, oh.
Sorry, I just blanked on her name, so.
That's all right.
Can you hand me a pen?
Oh, yes.
All right. I'm supposed to write my name on this?
You're covering it up so that it is a reveal. Oh, don't worry, we're going to introduce the characters here in a moment.
What were some of those descriptions and names again that you had?
Oh, the example names?
Yeah. I just drawn a blank.
One that I heard on an actual play was Deke Hamfist. Buzz Dixon, Jack Bradbury, Nick Timber.
Nick Timber. It's got to be Nick Timber.
That sounds good.
You would think that too?
Nick Timber. Two-fisted turtle. All right. So with that, and then put it at the top of your character sheet as well.
How often do you see
I'm going to take those, because that's going to be like your character fig in the middle of the table once we're moving around. So but you can keep yours for a moment if you want to keep the mystery alive. All right. So now we're going to go around and introduce the members of the Danger Patrol that will be featured in this week's exciting episode, Attack of the Crimson Apes, featuring...
Nick Timber, Two-Fisted Daredevil.
I'm Candy Apple, a mystic detective.
And Major Slag, the Atomic Commando.
Major Slag. Yes. All right. So, now I'll read you a short introduction to the world of Danger Patrol. The Earth was destroyed 50 years ago in the Atomic Wars. Just before the end, hundreds of rocket ships escaped Earth. Most of them went to Mars, where the richest man in the solar system, millionaire Hamilton Hawks, had built a giant utopian city of the future called Rocket City. Rocket City is an Art Deco silver is all Art Deco, silver spires, glass, chrome, and steel. It's a vertical city of many levels with skyscrapers set thousands of feet tall, sprawling across Olympus Mons. Everyone gets around via rocket car, funneled into magnetically controlled traffic lanes. Magna Zeppelins cruise majestically at the highest altitudes, carrying heavy cargo across the massive city 100 times larger than New York. Everything has retro style, including the robotic service station attendants who wear smart white uniforms and wash your windshield while they gas up your rocket car. The Mighty Atom newspaper is delivered every morning to most homes and is sold on floating traffic islands by boys in newsy caps. Radio dramas are very popular. I've learned to stop trying to talk over the dog because it makes it hard to edit.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's not your fault. It's a dog. Radio dramas are very popular, as are the brand new Videoscope programs. Motion picture theaters show films in black and white with sound for 5 cents a pop. Rocket City is the crossroads of the solar system, where all the human colonies on the other worlds come to trade, along with aliens of all sorts. The other major human settlement is the Crimson Republic in Jupiter's red spot. The CR is a militaristic nation ruled by the despot Grand Commander Zhukov, a head in a jar attached to a robotic spider body. Then the CR is oppressed with The CR is obsessed with perfecting atomic technology, which is now banned in Rocket City, and turning their population into atomic super soldiers with which to conquer the solar system. The CR is the catch-all commie, Red Scare, evil empire bad guy group. They are technically at peace with Rocket City, but an invisible Cold War rages, with enemy agents hidden everywhere. Each planet is Earth-like, except for dark and cold Pluto, with normal gravity and breathable air. Each is home to native alien life, as well as strange plants and animals. Mars has ruins of some former great civilization with links to Atlantis on Earth. No one knows what became of them. I would love one. Thank you very much.
Just in case there's none left when I come back. Cool.
The Neptunians claim to be descendants of the Elder Race, but Neptunians claim lots of crazy things. Pluto is home to the Stygian Adepts, an evil cult from the fifth dimension who worship entropy. They're the hooded dudes made out of living shadow with wicked curved daggers, perfect for sacrificial scenes and creepy dark magic stuff. The rest of the details are up to you to come up with. Who lives where? What sort of aliens? What sort of things are in existence on all the planets? Rocket City is the only thing that's really nailed down. Another important question. What about the rampant sexism and racism that were part of most classic pulp stories? Does Rocket City have those things, too? Thankfully, Billy, those things vanished along with the Earth after the Atomic Wars. In Rocket City, everyone is equal.
I was going to say, this sounds like a
Thank God.
Set in the 1960s, and that wasn't that good of a time, really.
That is exactly the point they were trying to make, so they just thought they'd nip that one in the bud.
What it sounds like is a clean version of a Fallout game.
Essentially, yes. Only the fun way, where you can just fly to Mars and walk around. So, I will give you guys...
There are some left.
Huzzah.
Just a few.
I will give you guys the initial setup for tonight's episode, Attack of the Crimson Apes. The patrol is cruising over Rocket City in the Danger Car, a custom-built Hawk 5000 rocket car. Citizens are leaning out of their flying cars and snapping photos and cheering the patrol. This is a public relations cruise more than anything. Suddenly, a giant crimson ape, freshly escaped from the Rocket City Zoo, lands on the trunk of the car. It rips the back bumper off in a dominance display, roars, and hurls the bumper over its head right into traffic. The bumper smashes into a citizen's car, sending it tumbling out of control, with smoke pouring from the engine. Across the city, the heroes can see other crimson apes leaping from car to car in the traffic lanes, smashing windows, scaring citizens, and generally causing havoc. This looks like a job for the Danger Patrol! So, now, previously on Danger Patrol, this is the part where you each get to narrate a little bit of what your character was doing last episode, which may or may not have aired due to the writer's strike. But, so don't worry about continuity or anything like that if you're playing a continuous game. So, more importantly, I will use the things that you bring up that happened last episode to perhaps inform what's actually happening this episode, what mysteries, what further threats you will face besides the obvious crimson apes. So, if there are things that you want to see more of, like those crazy Stygian adept guys, or CR spies, or anything else crazy you can come up with, because, let's face it, nothing seems too out of place here.
No.
So, whoever wants to start can narrate a little vignette featuring them and at least either one other character or some important NPC for me to have on hand. So, Champ, you do not get cookies.
But do you have anything on the top of your head?
That's what I'm trying to think.
The one idea that quick popped into my head with this character and what could have been a background is he had been seeing, I've already forgot, the little sects that you'd already explained.
The major bad guys are the Stygian adepts, are the woo guys from the shadow dudes from the fifth dimension who live on Pluto.
Yeah.
Then Neptunians are just weird and say a lot of strange things. The CR, the Crimson Republic, are the Nazis, commies.
From Jupiter?
They're from the red spot of Jupiter, of course.
Is that who these Crimson Apes are, then? Alright.
The Crimson Apes escaped from the zoo. Why or how they escaped from the zoo, perhaps, is yet to be discovered.
Crimson Republic is what those guys are called?
Mm-hmm. Seems ironic. Crimson Apes, Crimson Republic.
Is there any actual open hostility between...
As I said, it's a Cold War at the moment. They are technically at peace in the same way that the United States and Russia were at peace in the 80s. Yeah. But, you know, everybody knew that everybody else was doing their darndest to...
Who could have been, like, during the Cold War, the real Cold War, who would be the equivalent of Cuba?
Mercury, Venus. I mean, pick it up. At this point, all of those planets are basically blank slates, so whatever you say becomes truth.
We'll say then, Major Slag had spent some time with a regiment on Venus.
Okay.
And has since returned and has basically been stuck behind a desk for a while and hating his job, basically.
So, last time on Danger Patrol, you see Major Slag, having returned from action on Venus, now being kept at a desk. How terrible! He needs to get out of here. Luckily, at least for this next gig, he's going to be able to get to go out with the Danger Patrol and ride around in a rocket car, which is better than the desk, but still isn't a good action. Until... Previously, on Danger Patrol...
I think I was... doing some exploring on Mars.
Ooh, exploring the ruins on Mars, because there are those ruins of the former civilization. All right. So, Candy.
Hmm.
So, as you see Candy Apple exploring the dark and twisted catacombs of the ruins of Mars, as she does, when suddenly she stumbles upon...
I think I've been training on Saturn.
Ooh, you've been on Saturn?
Yeah.
What's going on Saturn that you were there? You two-fisted daredevil, you?
I think it was the atmosphere was affecting my ability, you know, to react and stuff. So I was trying to build up my something.
So what's on Saturn that this made a great training ground for it? Is there some particular person on Saturn that you went to train under, or perhaps there's something about the planet itself? You were going to train in a volcano? Because what's more dangerous?
Yeah.
All right.
That or Jupiter, yeah, I should have said that one.
Okay. So, with that, we will lay out some threats. And we will do that by setting up the action arena. Dun-dun-dun. Oh, by the way,
points.
You each get one... One power token. Ooh, and I need to give you each a paperclip.
She's tired. But hungry.
It's about her time. Well, it's time for Eve, but it's also about her bedtime.
So, because you take the paperclip and attach it to the bottom of your sheet...
Oh, where your danger level is.
And when your danger increases, you will move it along the sheet. We will explain how that works in a little bit. So go ahead and attach those to the bottom of your sheet, to the left of your danger meter. I got yours.
Oh, okay.
So as I tell you to increase your danger, you move it along those steps.
Okay.
You'll notice that along those steps there are little symbols that look an awful lot like the, hey, I need to spend a power token. That means you gain a power token when you gain that much danger. So there are advantages to increasing the danger. Also, you'll see directly above your danger meter the section that says bashed, stunned, injured, KO'd, vaporized. That is the harm that you take. So when I hurt you, you will be able to mark boxes either somewhere where your danger meter already is or somewhere below it, depending on how hard I hit you. So, obviously, if your danger meter is high but you still have some bashed boxes left, you can just take those. Because they don't actually affect you. Stunned actually means that the next time you try and take an action, it's slightly more difficult. Same with injured. KO'd means you're knocked unconscious. And vaporized, well, you know, it happens sometimes. But don't worry, it's a serial. It's probably not permanent. So, next I need to lay out some threats for you guys. So... taking this as a template, but we don't have quite as many people as they had. All right, so we've got the danger car, in which Candy Apple, Major Slag, and Nick Timber were riding. So all of you are still in the rocket car. However, on the back end of your rocket car is a Crimson Ape. There's also a Crimson Ape that was attacking that other person's car that was just sort of spinning out of control. And then there's yet one more Crimson Ape. How about that? Does that seem like enough Crimson Apes? They had 5 for 4 people. I've got 3 for 3. Maybe we should have one more.
Hi, I'm broken,
yeah,
hungover.
Go one more. I'm up for a challenge.
All right. So there are 4 Crimson Apes in total to be dealt with before the scene is over. One of them is attacking a citizen's car. One of them is attacking your car. So, here's the way things work. Each of these cards is a threat. The threats need to be dealt with. They need to be dealt with by taking heroic actions. Things that can be seen on here. Don't worry about moving and that sort of thing. If it sounds cool and it's plausible, go for it. You have all of the equipment at your disposal. There are a couple of things to know about these threats. One, none of these threats have resistance. If they did, I would mark it on their cards, meaning that they ignore a certain number of hits from you. None of these are that type. There is also staged threats. So these are an example of a staged threat. This means before you can help the rocket car in trouble, you need to get rid of this Crimson Ape. And then you can deal with the rocket car in trouble. There's also countdown threats. If it has a circle around it, that means it's counting down. You only have so much time to deal with this threat. Also, any threat that is not dealt with in some way each round will potentially escalate and become slightly worse the more you ignore it. So there's some calculus to be had when you're thinking about what to do and where to go with that. So, when you take action, you roll dice. The first kind of die that you need to roll is the appropriate trait die. So if you are going to punch them in the face, you would use your warrior die. If you were going to shoot them, you would use your commando die. So whatever the action is that you are taking, you would use the appropriate die from your sheet. After that, you can pick up to 5 danger dice. Now, 3 of these danger dice you can pick up yourself by describing the ways in which this thing you're doing is dangerous and picking up an appropriate number of dice. However, you can also ask for more danger. Another die from either myself or one of the other players, where we get to narrate why it is more dangerous. So, it is entirely up to you how much danger you ask for. You can also use bonus dice. This would be when you use your equipment and your special abilities, things like that, to get extra dice. You then mark off the availability of that bonus die on your sheet. Bonus die come in various sizes. The first bonus die is always a D10. Spread the D10 over here. Your second bonus die is a D8, and then the third bonus die is a D6. So, it is diminishing returns to use on the same roll.
Okay.
So, if you used one round and then used another the second round, they would both be D10s because it was separate actions. But, if you're trying to stack up a whole bunch of things onto one roll, you get diminishing returns. So, what you are trying to get is 4 or higher. 4 or higher on any die is a success. A 1, 2, or a 3 on any die is danger. So, you add up your total amount of hits and danger. A normal threat, a minion, a monster, can be defeated in between 1 to 3 hits. Major threats, 4 to 6. Elite threats, even higher. Masters, things like that. For every die that comes up danger, you move your danger meter up 1 notch. So, this is how the danger increases, which may or may not be good for you, depending on who you are. The Daredevil, I think, really likes high danger. In fact, he wants to get as much danger as quickly as possible, and then try not to die, is the downside. and also then for your danger, I get to apply effects to you. I have a little chart of threat moves. For 1 danger, I can escalate a threat. For 2 danger, I can do a reduced hit to you. Meaning you have to mark one of your damage boxes below your danger meter. For 3 danger, I can introduce a new threat. For 4 danger, I can do a full hit. This means you have to mark something in the box where your danger meter currently is.
Okay.
And for 5 danger, I can inflict total disaster.
That sounds promising.
Which can be mitigated by a hero, by the hero taking a full hit and getting locked in a battle with a new threat. Like, oh, that building is falling over. Major disaster. No, it's not. I'm going to use my mystic powers to hold the building up and keep it from falling. Ah, you do, but now you are trapped in them in a mystic bubble, unable to affect the rest of the world. And so
takes them out of
right,
play.
It takes them out from dealing with the other threats, but they can mitigate the disaster if they so choose. So, you always have options. As I mentioned, when you are stunned, it is a little bit harder. If you are stunned, the next roll you take after being stunned, you have to roll 5s or better to get hits instead of 4s. If you are injured, you have to specify what kind of injury that is.
Doesn't apply to an atomic, though.
Right, right. Yeah, and so yeah, you might want to keep an eye on all of your special abilities that, you know, make some of these things not count against you. If you are injured, and your injury seems like it would be applicable, for instance, having a broken arm and attempting to shoot your gun, well, that seems like that would be hard with a broken arm. You would have to reduce your trait die by one size. And then KO'd, knocked unconscious. Vaporized means, well, you know, how permanent vaporized is depends on your preferences, but...
Then turn two.
And you can get rid of danger and refresh your dice during an interlude scene after an action scene has been settled. You can get back some of your bonus dice and you can erase some of your danger and your damage. So, with that in mind, we now know the bonus dice, how all of that comes into play. So, there is a crimson ape on the back of the danger car. And he is pounding his chest. Ah! He's just ripped the bumper off and thrown it, and it hit this other car. And then I'm coughing. So, who is going to do something? Surely this is a job for the Danger Patrol!
I want to... go ahead.
If you've got something...
Oh, yeah, I want to jump all the way over to this car.
Okay, so Nick, the two-fisted daredevil, is going to leap from the danger car and attempt to free fall to the rocket car in trouble. Well, that just sounds like something a daredevil would totally do. So once you get there, what are you going to do?
I didn't know. I thought I had a roll for it. So
well, at the moment, you have to deal with the threat, and the threat is the crimson ape.
Right.
So when you land, you're going to try and like land feet first on the ape's head?
Oh, I want to land in the car and then kind of roll... Like, I don't know, like, sideways on the car and, like, punch him in his, like, kidney kind of thing.
Awesome.
It'd be cool if he, like, comes, if the window of the thing is open and he comes through the window and rolls himself out the...
rolls the ape out?
No, rolls you on.
he goes through the inside of the car, grabs the edge of the window, swings around, and kicks the ape with his increased momentum. Okay, well, that sounds like something a daredevil would totally do, so I'm thinking that's going to be the daredevil action, because that is definitely running jumping. Mm-hmm. So grab your d12 for daredevil. Okay. So now the question is, are you going to utilize any bonus dice? Is there any of your equipment or anything that you would like to throw in, or any of your special abilities or anything that you think would be particularly applicable?
Maybe surprise move, just that I jumped all the way.
That certainly seems like a surprise move, so go ahead and mark off the bonus die for surprise move, and you can take that.
These are per encounter, then?
No, these are when you mark off the thing, then during an interlude scene, I think you can get like three back.
Okay.
So you'll have to choose, like, you don't necessarily get them all back.
Right.
So you might want to use them not too unsparingly. And the dog got locked in the basement.
So describe for him what Danger Patrol is. How do you describe this to somebody who's not here?
1950s styled sci-fi.
1950s sci-fi TV show.
Like,
Buck Rogers. Think Buck Rogers.
Think Fallout style. No, that's too gritty.
Yeah, it's far too gritty for this. Okay, so you've got those two. Now, would you? How is this dangerous?
I would think so. Just jumping off.
So okay, so
cars.
Right, so then you would sort of grab these and say, well, it's a really long ways between the danger car and the rocket car that's in trouble,
okay.
And I really hope that their window is open when I go to fly through the window, and I really hope there's something to grab onto on the other side of the car when I go to swing around.
Okay.
So, and this would be the point where you say, do you want more danger?
Sure.
So, does anybody have any idea why this is even more dangerous than he thinks?
We still have a window on our car, so...
Oh, trying to get through the window.
He's got
to
get out of... Wait, does he remember he's buckled in?
And sounds legit to me.
Would you like more danger? There's still one more die to be had, if anybody has any idea why.
Spread out big, I guess.
The Crimson Ape might see you coming and may think you're, you know, more like a baseball. So
I'm going to change this one to he was the one driving.
He was the one driving. That's even better. Yes. Absolutely. Of course he is. So
that makes my move. I'm bailing on you.
Okay. So I think you've gotten all of the danger that you can possibly get.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Go ahead and roll that.
Oh, boy.
All right. Oh. So let's separate into a pile of four and higher and less than four.
Yep, one that's less than four.
Wow. That's that is insanity. One, two, three, four, five. That is six hits and one danger. So, do you have any special abilities that affect the way you apply hits or anything like that? I know the big damn hero.
That one's only when I'm protecting someone specific. This one, you perform even better when your danger meter gets high.
Right, so with your danger meter. So move your danger meter up one tick, because you did get one danger.
Okay.
So you have definitely eliminated the Crimson Ape. he is toast. You fly around and kick, and he goes flying off of the car. Pinwheeling.
My plan is I have no idea how to deal with that trouble car, but I just want to get over there.
Well, it's your problem now, Chief. So, all right. Also, I need to figure out what I'm going to do with my... So, however, I do get to escalate a threat. Good. So I did pull out these for a reason. So I'm going to say, while you did that, that is going to escalate the threat of this Crimson Ape over here, because, like we said, you were the driver, and so now the car is less controlled than it was. So what this means, when I put an escalation die on these threats, it means when you roll your dice, I get to roll this die, and it only counts for adding danger. It doesn't count for you. Never gives you hits, always gives you danger. So, but that's all I can do with the only one danger that you gave me. Measly one danger. Ugh, how pitiful.
If you're, like, and when we're playing Marvel, you would be the one rolling the danger instead and not doing the hits.
Absolutely. So, all right. So, Mystic Detective and Atomic Commando, what are you two going to do?
He's not in the car anymore, so our car is just going aimless.
Right, your car has begun to sort of spiral out of control with the Crimson Ape still on the back, which makes it harder to deal with the ape because, well, your car is not holding steady.
Then I could do one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
I could either jump up and take control of the car and get it, because I'm a detective, so I don't really want to be out. Like, I want to be sneaky and sly.
All right.
But...
So, you can attempt to deal with the Crimson Ape by taking control of the car. I mean, with some clever driving, you may even be able to ditch this ape off of the car. So, what sort of action do you guys think that... Oh, that's definitely a flyboy action. No doubt. No question.
I hope you don't care that you're not going anywhere.
All right, so grab your flyboy die. It's a D8. So,
oh, sorry, we can move these to the middle.
Kind of where all the stuff is. Sorry. So, I mean, we can put them closer to where everybody can reach them, or yeah, everybody can sort of just end up keeping a couple next to them, maybe two. But all right, so you've got your D8 for your flyboy. The next thing is, how dangerous is this? Or do you want to add any bonus dice first? Doesn't matter which order you do it in, I guess.
Okay, so these are things like bonus die?
Yep, if they have that little bracketed plus sign next to them, they could give you a bonus die if you can find some way to use them in your in the activity you're doing.
I like this one. It's called Secrets Man Was Not Meant to Know.
You are a mystic.
How does energy handcuffs work? Could I handcuff him to part of a car?
Absolutely.
He is a giant ape, though. He ripped our bumper off.
Yeah.
They're energy handcuffs.
Okay.
And she's small.
And she's psychic. So she can jump behind the wheel and then
big fist, small wrist.
Attempt to energy handcuff. So if you'd like to grab the bonus die from that, you can just mark it off and grab the D10.
Are you gonna tie him to the steering wheel? Or handcuff him to the steering wheel?
At least I don't handcuff him to you. You're still in the car with me.
I'm guessing she's going to handcuff him to a part of the car where he's going to dangle below the car, so then he's no longer effective.
So I can run over him.
Well, you're up in the air. It's a rocket car, after all.
Well, I'll hit something. There you go. Tree or something.
All right. So you've got that. Now you can also explain why this is dangerous.
One, because I have another passenger.
Yep, there's still that other person in the car.
What the hell is happening to
Don't know what he's doing.
And then we don't know the effect of the ape.
Right. You've never driven a car with an ape on the bumper.
Yeah.
It might affect the handling. All right. Would you like more danger?
I think I'm going to stay with that for now.
All right. Fair enough.
I'm very good at rolling, so we'll see.
I see three hits and one danger.
Okay.
So wait. You were dealing with the Crimson Ape who has escalated. Ah, two danger.
So I move this over two?
Yep, so you move that over two notches.
Like that?
Yep.
Do you start at this one, or do you...
I started below. I started with it off the grid. I don't know if...
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong, but yeah, who cares?
Okay, I just want to make sure if it was here and then.
I say yeah. I started it on the arrow, okay. And then. So you've got three hits. So you apply three hits to the Crimson Ape. That is enough to knock the Crimson Ape out. So the Crimson Ape is left dangling by your energy cuffs.
My energy cuffs would do nothing.
However, I've got two danger to work with.
Exactly. Here you go.
Yeah, he can ask for it.
So I'm going to deal a reduced hit to you.
All right.
So you will have to mark your bashed box there at the bottom.
Because you gave me another danger?
No.
It's a reduced hit.
That's what the reduced hit is. So you can mark anything under where your danger meter is, which at the moment is still at the very bottom. But, okay. We're getting there. So that leaves... So that's Candy Apple has taken the driver's seat of the danger car. And is now firmly in control of that situation. Major Slag, what are you going to do?
All right, Major Slag is kind of servos are firing up a little bit, and he's finally going to get into the action a little bit. Now that the car's steadied out, he can actually... He's turned around inside the car. He's sitting in the back seat, and he's got his rifle, and he's going to just open up on those other two Crimson Apes.
Okay, and you're going to use your guns a-blazing? Because you can spread the hits across multiple targets. So you might take out both Crimson Apes in one fell swoop. I should have given you guys more problems. I have obviously underestimated the danger patrol, but that's okay. It's just an opening. It's just an opening scene, so we can throw more danger at you next.
I'm going to go with this is probably not the safest thing in the world, because we've got a detective mystic flying the car. Just got control over the car.
Okay. So, well, first of all, you're shooting, so that's definitely your commando.
Yeah, I already have 12.
Oh, you already have 12. Yep. Okay. So, you've got that. So now you're talking danger?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to say, because she just took control of the car again.
You're maybe still a little dizzy.
We don't know how damaged the car is, so it might not be flying perfectly.
Good point.
There's people everywhere, and I'm shooting a gun.
Still spinning around.
It might not be skyworthy for very much longer.
There, you know, this is just outside where people are, so that
alone
is dangerous.
There's lots of civilians you may damage.
But,
all right. Anybody else? You want some more danger?
Yeah. Do it.
With her, I don't. It's kind of with her driving, but I might be in a line of fire.
Yeah. Oh yeah, his rocket car in trouble and your rocket car in trouble may become a single rocket collision.
Yeah.
Good call. Would you like more danger?
Yeah, do it.
Got anything?
What if you have a small child come running?
It's a kid!
Right.
Always a kid at the most inopportune moment. Are you using any bonus dice?
No.
Nope, no bonus dice?
I don't think so.
Okay. Opening fire on the Crimson Apes.
Because they probably think, oh, they're a monkey.
That's one trouble, two danger, three... So three hits and three danger. Awesome, that's much more like it. So up your danger meter by three. Oh, hey, look. You get a power token. Go you. So your three hits is enough to take out a single Crimson Ape. So... If you would like.
Yep.
But not enough to take out a second. And then you have give me three danger to work with.
I certainly did.
Make her hold.
Well, I'm gonna let dogs out real quick.
Okay. So. All right. So, yeah, definitely this
Planet
is happening.
Planet of the Apes. That's what I'm thinking of right now.
More like Rise at this point, but yeah, very close. So I'm going to introduce a new threat.
That child.
Because I don't think that you've had enough. So as your gun goes off, it is loud. It echoes through the canyon, and it is answered by a very loud.
Oh shit!
Nice.
Who did you wake up?
The giant crimson ape. has arrived on the scene. It is bigger than the others. I have marked it as resist one, so your first hit against it doesn't count.
That's so, per turn?
Every time you hit it.
Okay.
So, hence making it even more important to deal one massive blow than trying to nickel and dime it. So. Indeed. So. I don't actually have to mark them with how many hits it takes to get rid of them, but this one I'm going to forget. So,
yeah.
So all right. So with that, Major Slag has opened fire, taking out one crimson ape, but as its death cry fills the air, so does another cry, that of a much larger ape drawn to the sound of the gunfire. And he sees the muzzle flash from your machine gun and begins to close on the danger car.
What if we come up around this direction, so then you have chance to fire at the two together.
Oh, I was like, what is
I'm just going to yell at you to fly right over top of the giant ape.
Okay, fly over him?
Yep, that's all I'm really worried about right now, at this point.
Okay. Because he doesn't have anything, right? So he could take care of this.
He's going to get take care of that rocket car in trouble because it's crashing.
Okay.
And he's only got one more turn to figure out what to do about it.
He better get his ass out.
Nick Timber is going to have to do some quick thinking. Perhaps use his abilities as a professor? How's his professor die? Is that his D4? Of course it's his D4. Fix the broken car. Oh, God. Why me? Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
I've got something like a plan.
All right. Sounds good.
I never said it was a...
You probably don't want me jumping out of this thing, then.
Hey, the last driver jumped out.
Started a trend, apparently.
Well, I don't think jumping out is advantageous to my...
Probably not.
I'm not equipped to handle...
I have grenades.
Okay. Ritual magic, you should do something cool. I just do something cool. That's what my power says. I do something cool.
This should do something cool.
Alright.
Alright.
So, the current situation. Candy Apple is driving the danger car with Major Slag in the back firing out. A giant crimson ape has just appeared on the scene. There's still another crimson ape rampaging through the streets. And Nick Timber is in a rocket car that is careening towards the ground, getting ever closer. He needs to do something.
Oh, yeah.
The car is currently occupied by a woman and a baby in a car seat in the back. Help me! Help me! She screams as her car careens out of control due to the damage wrought by the crimson ape to the front of her car.
It's damaged, right?
Right. So the rocket car is partially broken. Like the propulsion system isn't working properly. So you could either like do some sort of repair-y kind of thing to try and like you know. engage the safeties, or I don't know. You know.
You said there's a child in mine.
Yeah, well. There's a kid in a car seat in the back, and then the lady in the front seat.
Oh, shoot, what I was just going to do is jump out and throw something and blow the thing out, but if there's something in there, never mind. I'm not pulling a Lee. He killed a child in Numenera, a 9-year-old. So
that's lovely.
So, all right. I'm going to see. I guess try to repair it best that I can. So,
okay, so that would be a professor action then. Well, that's your D4. We're off to a gangbuster start already.
Oh boy!
So, do you have any bonus dice you'd like to throw at this? Perhaps a bunch.
Goggles and gas mask.
I wonder what this utility belt might be. I don't know if it has tools on it, maybe?
Absolutely, it might have tools. So go ahead and check off your bonus die.
It's your utility belt.
Yeah,
we'll
do that.
It's your story. Tell it all you want.
Heck yeah. So you can use more bonus dice. The next one would be a D8, which is still twice as good as your professor, yep. So... Say, is there any of your other stuff that might be applicable, or...
Is there a way I can use this grapple line to attach it to the other car and have a guide?
Absolutely! That sounds like a great idea!
This is basically a flying nunchuck.
It's a flying rocket nunchuck.
I'm hoping that someone can drive up there better. If we're going to crash, maybe guide it.
Is this dangerous?
This is extremely dangerous. There's...
The child in danger of me repairing this.
Right. There's a baby on board. Yep. That's definitely worth one.
Using them as a guide to
around. You're dragging the other danger car into this problem.
He doesn't
trying
know what
to
he's
stay
doing.
Away from.
Oh yeah, you are careening towards the giant crimson ape at the moment.
He doesn't know what he's doing as far as repairs go.
Now that's covered by his D4. Okay. We need to up the danger with the danger dice.
I'd up it one. If someone wants to.
No, yeah. He was trying to suggest something, but yeah. But that's pretty well. We know he's bad at that. Why else?
Do we have the fact that he is attached to us?
Yeah, I did.
That was narrated as part of that he's going to drag you guys into it.
Our car is damaged. So the lead car that he's connecting to...
Right. The thing that he's counting on for stability is not terribly
so stable.
Let's say also that there's some debris falling that might also hamper his ability
line
to
of sight.
get the job done, either from the apes careening around or from the gun. So I think that looks like a pretty decent pool of dice. Let's.
Oh my god, the visual here. Just so you wish you had an artist sitting next to you as you did this, so that they.
That's why some of those bigger podcasts.
I'm so envious. Cool. They always have like one person who's a good drawer, and they're always sitting there at the table. And then like halfway through the game, they'll be like, "And here's a sketch of that dude with the donkey's head," and everybody's like, "Yeah! Why are none of us artistically talented?" Okay, so danger.
Will Robinson.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hits!
Nice.
That is awesome! 5 hits and 3 danger, so that is totally enough to fix the rocket car.
Oh, Jesus.
The rocket car.
That's the danger.
We have someone that, for D&D, he stinks at, like, he was playing a fighter, was -7 stealth, and he's like, he just like, oh, I wanna go with this group and be stealthy, and he rolls a crit. I'm like, how do you manage rolling a crit when you're a fighter with plate armor? Like, so I move up 3.
Yep.
So that's 3 danger.
And he gets an energy.
2.
Or power.
You get a power token.
Yep.
And I'm going to deal a reduced hit to you.
So.
So you can mark any box that's in underneath your danger counter.
So the first bash. Thing.
Yep. So mark your first bash if you've got it. So, as some of those rocks come down and hit you, on the head, but you're made of tougher stuff than that. However, also, this crimson ape has caught a hold of the bottom of the car, and he's trying to go help his friend get out of the energy cuffs. So he may eventually become two crimson apes.
And a giant.
Right, and then there's, of course, the giant crimson ape. So, Candy Apple, Major Slag, what are you up to?
So I'm going to, Major Slag, fly right over that giant ape. Just
all right.
Take a sharp turn and go over him, is what I'm telling Candy to do.
Okay, as you tell Candy to drive right over the ape, you're going to...
I'm going to drop a grenade.
Alright, so that sounds like a commando action again, I would say.
Alright, and...
And you're going to pop your frag grenade bonus die. So that's D10 for that. What else? Anything else we'd like to include? Is this dangerous, perhaps?
I'm going to go with... Yeah. Also, though, I am going to... I don't... No, if I'm going to use my atomic strength to just absolutely,
so you're going to really chuck this thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to go into fusion overload. Oh no! Oh, your atomic strength. Okay, sorry.
Yep. So this mark both. That's
no, you just mark one of them when you use one of the bonus die. So that's a second bonus die for a D8.
All right.
So, and using your atomic strength, you hurl a frag grenade, and it is a fastball special.
Yep.
So fast.
I want it to basically embed itself inside this giant ape's forehead so that it can't flick it away.
So, Major Slag, why is this dangerous?
This is dangerous for more reasons than we have time to list.
Well, let's list at least three of them if you want dice for them.
I'm throwing a high explosive.
You are throwing a high explosive...
out of a moving car that's damaged.
You are in a damaged car.
That's tethered to another car.
There is another car also tethered to it. Would you like some more danger?
Yeah.
There's a baby in the thing.
There's a baby in the car behind. And I'm going to toss in the last one that, you know... The force that you apply to the object getting it moving might be enough to set off the grenade in your hand instead of in the ape.
Oh.
That'll pull them out of the moving vehicle. Or...
that momentum.
That wouldn't be good. Here we go, all ones.
Alright. So I see a good bit of danger there.
That holy crap.
It is three hits and five danger.
This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License.